This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Simone Malo's joined, well, at least as far as the weather goes, computer-wise, not so much, but, you know, we're faithful. Simone Malo's joins us now, campaign director for the Restore the Mississippi River Delta. How you doing, Simone?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. Did I say that wrong? Is it Malo's or Malaz?
Yeah, we usually say Malaz, but
your name, and I think when you say we, that's the Malazes, and I think you're entitled to that. How you doing? You been all right?
You know, Tommy, I've been better. You know, we've had some concerning shifts in the coastal program, and I appreciate you following this issue so closely. It seems like we've been talking about this for months now, although you followed coastal issues way before that.
It seems as though, to me, what's happening here is some special interests are being catered to. And look, I live down the street from somebody that's the head of the Oyster Association, their son, so we're all friends and everything else. I'm just trying to think of what's best for the largest group of people in the longest run, and I think that's all you're concerned with as well, Simone?
Tommy, yes. So when we think about the coastal program, which, you know, had to really, really change. Next year will be the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. After that storm season of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, we said we can't do it like this anymore, right? We can't have protection and restoration separately. We had this idea of having a science-based coastal master plan. It had to be reviewed by the legislature. We made such significant changes after that storm season. It's really important to look back at that. And then next year is also the anniversary of Deepwater Horizon. It will be 15 years since then. And because we had that science plan in place, and because we made those significant changes in the coastal program, we were able to respond to that terrible tragedy of the oil spill with projects ready for consideration that now had funding that we could implement to benefit all of Louisiana's coast.
Let me take one break, Simone, if I can, please, because Dave Cohen has some more traffic news for us in an ever-changing situation. Hey, Dave.
And changing rapidly, Tommy. We're trying to find out exactly what just happened, but state police have now closed the I-10 in both directions over the Bonnie Carey spillway again. We don't know if they were just bleeding some of the traffic off that was building up in LaPlace and on I-55 in those long delays and just letting some vehicles get on the I-10 and head toward Kenner from LaPlace, but the state police have just, and the DOTD have just informed us that they have reclosed the I-10 over the Bonnie Carey spillway after some vehicles were allowed on. So we're waiting for further information, but anticipate that right now you will not be able to cross the Bonnie Carey spillway on the I-10 eastbound or westbound between Kenner and LaPlace once again after a brief opening.
Thank you, Dave. Back to Simone Malaz now with the campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. Simone, I'm just going to say it. It seems as though politics is getting in the way of science here. Is that accurate or not? Do you want to go there?
We're definitely concerned about a potential shift away from science. Tommy, as you know, this project took 6 years to get a permit, to get the permissions by the Army Corps of Engineers, which is not an easy entity to get things through. Took 6 years. So even some of the statements that this happened overnight, et cetera, I mean, to think that something took 6 years to evaluate. It was thousands of pages of review. And while that doesn't sound fun or interesting, what that really meant, Tommy, is that it had so much transparency. All of that information was available. They had public meetings. They had experts look at this. They issued a draft. That transparency is hugely important in coastal Louisiana. Our coastal communities deserve to know what's going on. They deserve to know their risk, and they deserve to know the things that we're going to do to help them reduce that risk.
Tim, do we have the state trooper yet or not? Okay, well, Simone, I'm going to have to interrupt you in a minute because we're trying to follow this traffic issue with the spillway
Important issue, of course.
So where did it get derailed?
You know,
They're telling me something different now. Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Simone. Where did it get derailed?
Yeah, this is important news, obviously, Tommy, to track that and people's safety this morning. But, you know, we started to see shifts at the beginning of last year. We, of course, were already under construction with this project that had a groundbreaking in August. And then we started to see shifts away from that around this time or the beginning of this year, beginning of 2024. And it started with a reevaluation of the project. And
by whom?
It started, so the administration, the new Landry administration, reevaluated the project. And there was a stop work order issued by Plaquemines Parish government.
All right, let me pick it up there when we come back, Simone Malaz, because now we're joined by Jacob Pishu, Public Information Officer with Louisiana Police, Louisiana State Police, Troop B. Good morning, Trooper. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. Tough morning. Tell me what's going on with the spillway and what went into the decision to close it. And Dave told me it was open for a second and closed. What's happening?
Yes, sir. So overnight, around 2 in the morning, the visibility was so bad that the night shift and the troopers on scene actually began to shut it down. And it remained closed until just about after 6 this morning. We were trying to make it easier for motorists to get across and helping with all the traffic coming in and going out of the metro area. But visibility did not improve as quickly as it was seeming to. So we have actually just now shut it back down, and we're putting out our traffic advisories now. It's just not safe. The visibility was not picking up as quickly as it seemed to be, and it's not safe for drivers to be on that bridge.
And as I understand it, Jacob, this is the kind of thing where it can clear up and then get dense again real quick, right? That's what you're dealing with right now?
Yes, sir. And again, we know the commuters coming in and getting out of the area at this time, especially plant workers, people like that. So we were trying our best to get them safely across doing convoys, but that's not even safe at this point.
Thank you, sir. Do you have any, again, I don't know if you're dealing with the National Weather Service here, or do you have any idea when anything would change or when it would be opened or convoying or anything like that?
I don't have an idea as of right now, but as soon as we get word, we will update our traffic advisories on there.
And you are
on our social media platforms,
Okay, and you are, tell me about the social media where people can follow it.
On Louisiana State Police on Facebook and X or Twitter.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. That's Jacob Pishu, a public information officer with Louisiana State Police, Troop B, 651. More with Simone Malaz about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. When we return, right now it's time for traffic on WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Fog remains the story. This morning in our commute, have a few closures you should be aware of. Over on I-55 southbound remains closed at exit 1. Traffic being diverted to 51 and onto Airline Highway to make your way into Kenner. You just heard Bonnie Carey Spillway is closed in both directions. Traffic also being diverted in LaPlace to 51 over to Airline Highway to Kenner. In Kenner, if you need to head out to LaPlace, you'll be diverted at 310. There are heavy delays entering and exiting 310. No issues past that. Over on the causeway, we do have a rolling convoy from South Shore to North Shore headed from from North Shore to South Shore. From South Shore to North Shore, we have one lane open that is relegated to 45 miles per hour. Over on the Twin Span, traffic starting to pick up a little bit. It was slower than usual, but now that the sun is coming out, fog seems to be lifting in that area a bit. We are back to normal traffic patterns. No issues on I-10 West from New Orleans East to downtown. Crescent City Connection wide open in both directions. No issues on the Huey P. Long. This has been a look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
Thank you, Courtney. And again, you just heard the public information officer, Jacob Pichu, from Louisiana State Police Troop B, saying that they tried to get it open, but the fog came back and it wasn't as clear as they thought it was going to be. And it's a similar condition as it was yesterday with the causeway. And we'll talk with Carlton Dufour show at 7:15 about that, where they're convoying this morning on the causeway, as Courtney just told you. But yesterday, it just kind of descended quickly, and that's a long bridge, as is the spillway. Not as long, of course, but if you get caught in the middle of that and the fog gets dense, that's when the pileups happen, and they got to err on the side of safety. The good news is, and it's been a busy half hour, we talked to Kevin Gilmore with the National Weather Service. Today's the last day that we should have any fog concerns. Back with Simone Malaz, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. So, Simone, I guess what I'm asking is, Mid-Barataria sediment diversion gone full tilt after a lot of study, a lot of science, a lot of permits, everything else, and all of a sudden it comes to a screeching halt. What changed?
Yeah,
the science didn't change, did it?
Well, we don't think it did, Tommy. Okay. Certainly, the science has been there and been there for a long while, as is the evaluations, you know, and including the mitigation. And that's an unfun word, mitigation, but really, that is the money that comes with a project to support communities and to support industries like the fisheries industry here. And so I don't think that's talked about enough. There were hundreds of millions, nearly $400 million that came along with this project that was to help community mitigation. And that includes improving roads, elevating homes, building a bulkhead in areas like Myrtle Grove, and also helping those industries. Without this project, that does not happen. That does not come to those communities or that industry that seemingly could use some of that help. So, yes, the concern started at the beginning of this year, and to think that we're here all these months later, you know, we talk so often, Tommy, about there's no time to waste here in coastal Louisiana, and so delays like this are very concerning, not just about this project, but about, you know, the health of our coastal program.
So when it comes to, here's what I thought was going on. I thought that maybe political interests got involved and they were trying to raise the amount of compensation that was to be given for people that were affected by the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. But then Governor Landry made a statement, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, the culture is at stake. And America, if you want people to work, you don't pay them not to work. So then that would mean that he's saying, well, then we're not going to subsidize anybody for anything. But along those lines, that's in exchange for, like you're saying, all that money goes away to subsidize people or to help them deal with the effects of the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. Okay, that's the economic part. What about the environmental part if this project stops and nothing happens?
Yeah, but just to address the first point, Tommy, in the environmental impact statement, you know, less than 4% of the fisheries mitigation funding is for business development or retraining, less than 4%. And the other 96% supports the long-term viability of the seafood industry in the Barataria Basin. But you're right, Tommy, there are two different discussions here as we talk about the economics behind the project, the cost, the mitigation, the almost 100 contractors that are working on this project and the jobs involved with that. And then there is absolutely the environmental part of this project and this idea that we need to reconnect to the river so we can match a solution, a restoration solution for the challenges that we're facing here in coastal Louisiana. And this project is big and it is transformational, but it is what we need to match the size and scale of the challenges that we're facing in coastal Louisiana. So, it's also to mitigate for the injuries from the oil spill. And again, that money was given to Louisiana as a geography, right, as a place to help from those damages that we occurred over 15 years ago.
So again, I'm confused because I thought it was about a negotiating ploy. Let's delay it. Let's up the compensation. Then the governor says, no, that you don't want to pay people not to work. So that's the economic concern. I understand the governor's far to the right and no compensation, no this, no that. Okay, so if that's you, and as you said, Simone, that all of that goes away, what happens environmentally? Because there had to be an environmental reason that people wanted to build this Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. If this project just stops dead in its track 5 years from now, where are we?
I think that is a huge question to ask, Tommy. I think we're asking that ourselves. So many projects in that basin, in this area, were based on the fact that this diversion could come online and would be operational. Because remember, this project is sustaining, and that's not also discussed enough. We believe in dredging. We believe in that idea that you could create marsh almost instantly, but that does also rely on availability of sediment in the river. It also has the same cautions with labor and fuel cost increases, et cetera. But Tommy, that is really just a one-time thing that you can do, and that, you know, in 10 years and 20 years after a hurricane, you know, after several devastating hurricanes, you have to build that back up because you haven't changed the conditions in the basin in the first place, which is how you get to this long-term idea and a sustainable idea. We only have this money maybe once, Tommy, ever to spend. And the idea also behind reconnecting to the river is that it was sustainable. It's something that can last over time. For that amount of money, that we could have a solution that could still be in place for when my children grow up. And that, so we were thinking also about today versus tomorrow. And that is one of the ideas that is missed in the sediment diversion argument. We believe in dredging, but the idea of the diversion is that that is a sustainable project. That is something that can last over time.
It seems as though any delay timeline-wise is exponentially magnified because not only are you losing additional coastline, but to get things started again is going to take even longer, right? So it's like a twofold thing?
Yeah, there's no time to lose. It certainly means, you know, costs could increase, factors could change. But you know that, Tommy, here in Louisiana, there's no status quo in Louisiana, and we always need to be doing things to improve our coast so we can protect and restore for the safety of our coastal communities.
Thank you, Simone. Appreciate your time. Simone Malaz, in your patience, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. We'll